know where we fit, and we know how you would have us to serve. This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, Acts chapter 2. As you know, I've been doing a series on the person of the Holy Spirit, and we've talked about a lot of things, and I love teaching in series for the most part because I can cover a lot of material, and hopefully you'll learn something. Listen, I read a quote the other day that is very appropriate, and it is simply this. God has given us His Word not so that we can just increase our knowledge, but rather so we can have transformed lives. Amen. See, it's not what you know that's important. It's what God's Word is doing in you. And what we have in what I'm going to teach you in this series is a revelation of who you are. And what the Holy Spirit desires to do in and through each and every one of us. See, ministry is not just about the preacher or the pastor. Amen. But ministry has to do with the entire body. We are the body of Christ and members in particular. And God has dealt with each and every one of us in particular and unique ways. And when we all realize our role and step into that with confidence, then there's no limit to what we can accomplish. Amen? Amen. Now, Acts chapter 2, and this is the end of Peter's sermon. Well, we're probably right in the middle of it, on the day of Pentecost when the Holy Spirit was poured out. And they came out of that upper room. They were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And the amazing thing was, those people who were gathered in Jerusalem because of this feast of harvest, Pentecost, were from all over the known world, Jewish proselytes. And they all heard these 120 speaking in their native language. So not only was the Holy Spirit upon the lips of those speakers, but also on the ears of the hearers. And if you were from Arabia, you heard them all speaking Arabic. If you were from Greece, you heard them all speaking Greek. If you were from Jerusalem, you heard them all speaking Hebrew. It was an amazing thing that the Holy Spirit did. And so, as human nature is, you always have some detractors. I don't care how well-intentioned you are. I don't care how pure your heart is. Trust me, there are going to be some people out there who don't like what you do. And so this miracle took place on the day of Pentecost, and there were some standing by there who started mocking them and said, "What is this? These people are drunk. Look at them." And Peter got up and began to proclaim, "These people are not drunken as you suppose, but this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel." And I'll pick it up in Acts 2:17. "And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out of my Spirit upon all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, your young men shall see visions, your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaidens I will pour out in those days of my Spirit, and they shall prophesy." And so he begins to expound and preach to this group of people that were assembled there. And a multitude of them believed on the Lord Jesus that day. And so there are many things that we can garner and gather from this scripture. But notice that he said that I will pour out of those days of my Spirit, and they shall prophesy. Your young men shall see vision, your old men shall dream dreams. Now, the words here convey a meaning that is powerful. That word, vision, is the word that simply means they'll have divinely granted appearances. And you can think of vision in many terms, but it literally means to see into the realm of spirits. And we see this happening again and again and again throughout the book of Acts, and it's always happened throughout church history. In spite of men's closed minds, God has always had a remnant who followed after Him and that He was able to work through. Amen. And so we should never get to the point where we think we're like Elijah. when he had slain the prophets of Baal and run from Jezebel, and God finds him under a tree, and he says to him, Elijah, what are you doing here? He said, Lord, I'm the only one left, and you know nobody worships you but me, and that's my paraphrase. And the Lord had to minister to Elijah because he was dealing with depression. And the Lord said to him, I've got 7,000 that haven't bowed the knee. You didn't know it, but I knew it. So never think in your life that you're exclusive. That there, nobody does it like me. Nobody loves him like me. Don't fool yourself. God always has a remnant. Amen? And so now we've been talking about the Holy Spirit, the person of the Holy Spirit, and how he manifests himself. And we went over to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and we looked at these manifestations of the Holy Spirit. And we've seen that he expresses himself 9 different ways. There are 3 manifestations that say something. Those are prophecy, diverse kinds of tongues, interpretation of tongues. There are 3 manifestations or gifts that reveal something. And those are the word of knowledge, the word of wisdom, and discerning of spirits. And then there are 3 gifts or manifestations that do something. Power gifts. Gifts of healings, working of miracles, and faith or special faith. Now these gifts or manifestations are not just for, listen to me carefully, the Sunday morning or Sunday evening church service. The Holy Spirit lives in you. The Holy Spirit rests on you. Amen. And he will manifest himself at any given moment, at any given time, for many reasons. Amen. Not just so you can preach good. Amen. But he'll manifest himself at times to save you from getting into an accident. Amen. He'll manifest himself at times so that you can deal with your children properly. Y'all remember Pastor Martin? He's been with us many, many times. He performed the wedding for Valerie and I. Dear, dear friend. Godly friend. But God has used that man in our lives in a powerful way. Now, what we didn't know was that he's just a regular guy just like all of us. But I've had him share. I remember one time he was sitting. We went to Bible college together. He was a year behind me. But we would hang out, we'd fellowship, we stayed in each other's homes. You know, my son and his daughter, the middle child, are about the same age. But he had an older son named Reggie. And one summer, we always went to Brother Hagin's camp meeting. And we'd either volunteer or take our families and just sit there. Well, he's sitting in the auditorium one service. And he had a word of knowledge. The Holy Spirit spoke to him. And Reggie, his son, was supposed to be over in the children's church. He was a teenager. The Holy Spirit said to him, while he's sitting in the service, get up and go out in the hallway and get your boy. And Cliff's thinking, he's in the children's church. I checked him in. The Holy Ghost said, go get up and go get your boy. He's in the hallway. So Cliff got up, went to, the Tulsa Assembly Center, seats like 10,000 people. He gets up, walks out into the foyer, and here comes his son down the hallway with 2 older girls, heading for the exit. And Pastor Cliff said, excuse me, where are you going? And it shocked Reggie. Reggie didn't know Dad knew he was out there. Oh, Dad, I was, these are my friends, and they're both older girls. He said, you get back in there. You're not going anyplace. See, but the Lord was warning his father so that he could prevent his son from getting into some trouble. And Reggie's a fine man today. It's amazing. We saw Reggie this past summer. And the guy's past 40. You know, it's like, yikes, man. I remember when you were little. But see, the Holy Spirit will do things like that. Warn us about things. Reveal things to us. In many different ways. Now, he also will give us information so that we can direct our lives properly. Amen. So that we can know what our assignment is. You know, I shared when the Apostle Paul finally had an audience before King Agrippa. And Paul was a very learned man. He was a Pharisee of the Pharisees. He was a doctor of the law. He knew the Old Testament scripture forward, backward, and sideways. Most Bible scholars believe he was fluent in five different languages. And now he finally has an audience before King Agrippa. And what does he talk about? I was on my way to Damascus. All of a sudden I saw a light from heaven knock me off my horse. I heard a voice coming from heaven and said, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" It was Jesus. And he said, "I've called you for this reason and set you apart so that you can do these things." And then he says to the king, "O king, I've not been disobedient to that heavenly vision." He's talking about a vision. He has an opportunity to be most eloquent and erudite and scholarly. And what does he do? He talks about a vision. He saw Jesus, heard his voice. And that's what propelled his life forward, changed him, transformed him. So there are times the Holy Spirit will move and do and say things to set the course for the rest of your life. Amen. Or he'll move and say things and he'll bring you deliverance from things. Amen. Now, what you don't know is many times I've been affected by what the Holy Ghost said to me. Years ago, he told me what he wanted me to do with the rest of my life. And he pointed the direction for it. Now, how did he do it? That was a word of wisdom, a revelation of his purpose and plan for the future. Did somebody prophesy to me? No, I got it myself. Other people have witnessed and confirmed it. Amen? Amen. Valerie and I were talking just yesterday about a man who ministered to her 20-some years ago, Bob Lemon. And she was sitting in the balcony at their church. And he ran up to the balcony and laid his hands on her and said some things to her. Now, only she would know that, and her friends and people who are around her. Well, one of the first times Pastor Martin came, was this over on 12th Street? He laid hands on her, said the same thing by the Holy Ghost. Said the same thing. And she said to me, "I know that man's a God." You know what I mean? Because nobody would know that. Other than God. But there are times the Holy Spirit does things like that. So we need to understand that. Now turn with me in your Bibles, if you would, to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And I want you to see this, because this is very, very important. First Thessalonians chapter 5, last chapter in that book. Right after Colossians, you hit First Thessalonians. Right just before Timothy. First Thessalonians chapter 5. Notice what it says. Now, in verse 23 it says, "And the very God of peace shall sanctify you wholly or entirely." Well, that's what we all want. We want to walk in the peace of God and have Him separate us, set us apart entirely. But there's something that we have to do to get there. Notice this instruction, beginning with verse 16. 1 Thessalonians 5:16. "Rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Quench not the Spirit, despise not prophesying, prove all things, hold fast to that which is good, abstain from all appearance of evil, and the God of peace shall sanctify you wholly or entirely." So these antecedent events tell us what we need to do to walk in the peace of God. Notice prophecy is a part of that. Amen. I'll read it from the New Living Translation. "Always be joyful. Never stop praying. Be thankful in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you who belong to Christ Jesus. Do not stifle the Holy Spirit. Do not scoff at prophecies, but test everything that is said. Hold on to that which is good." I often say to people, we don't need less prophecy, we need more of it. And we need to hold on to what's good. You with me? There are some people who overreact and throw out the baby with the bathwater. Well, that guy down there prophesied something goofy and it didn't come to pass, so we don't have prophecy here. You're a fool. You are a fool. Just because some guy printed a counterfeit $100 bill doesn't mean that you throw all your money away. Amen. If you have that mindset, don't throw it away, just bring it here. I know what to do with it. Amen. We'll reach people for Jesus. We'll send it to Africa. You got too much money? Come on. We'll help you. Amen. We'll be a blessing. Amen. See? But yet, when someone makes a mistake or something happens in the spirit, all of a sudden we want to shut that stuff down. You're a fool. We don't need less. We need more. So don't despise prophecy, but hold on to what's good. Amen. You with me? We need it. Now, having said that, we need to understand how the Holy Spirit works. And you don't have to turn here, but there's an account in Acts chapter 27 where Paul encountered a shipwreck. And you can read the story when you get home. But Paul was a prisoner and was bound and being sent to Rome. And they were actually in a certain port, and the wind was blowing softly. The weather looked great. And the captain of the ship decided to set sail. But Paul went to the captain and said, "Sirs, I perceive that this voyage will be of much harm, not only of the lading or the cargo and the ship, but also our lives." Paul had an inward knowing. Well, the captain of the ship looked at his instruments, checked the weather forecast, looked at Paul, said, "Sorry, brother, we sailing." Well, they got out there in the ocean and encountered a storm that was so severe that for 14 days they didn't see the sun or the moon. And it was horrible. Now, when you think about this, now, those of you who were there, not this past Wednesday night before, remember I talked about what Paul said, you know, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. And there's an account in Mark chapter 4 where Jesus had told his disciples, "Hey, let's go over to the other side, the land of the Gadarenes." And so, you know, some of his staff were professional fishermen. So they set sail, and the Bible says suddenly they encountered a storm. And the word suddenly means without warning, I mean super surprised. And so this storm came out of nowhere. And they're battling this storm, and it says the wind, it was a storm of wind, but it blew the waves so that the waves were filling the boat. And so these men are bailing water. And some of these are not rookies. These are professional fishermen. This ship was large enough where it had a lower deck, and Jesus is in the back of the boat in the lower deck, sleeping on a pillow. And these men are going down. I mean, the boat is filling with water. So finally, they go back and they find Jesus, and they say to him in one gospel, three of the gospels record this. One of the gospels says it in an accusatory tone. "Carest thou not that we perish?" In other words, what's wrong with you? You're sleeping and we're all going to die. And Jesus is sleeping. And he wakes up, goes up to the deck of the boat, rebukes the wind, and says to the sea, "Shh." And there was a great calm. Then he looks at these men and says, "Why were you afraid, and where's your faith?" He was telling them, "You could have done this. You didn't have to wake me up." Now, that blew them away. But listen, when you understand what happened when they got to the other side of that lake, you'll understand more about why that storm came. There were two men over there possessed with demons. One of them was so possessed, he had over 6,000 demons on the inside of him. That's why he said, "My name is Legion, for we are many." A Roman legion, 6,820 troops. And Jesus set that man free. Now, where did that storm come from? Those demons knew if he got to the other side of that lake, they were going to lose their precious possession, that man. And so the storm of wind comes out of nowhere. Now, what I was sharing with the folks on Wednesday night is that when Paul said, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood," there are two words in that passage. He said, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness. The first word translated against means to stand opposed to. So we wrestle not standing opposed to flesh and blood. But the second word translated against is the Greek word pros. And the word pros is also found in Ephesians 6:18 when it says praying always, prosyuke. Well, what is prayer, prosyuke? Pros means face to face. Yuke means communion. And so prayer means face to face, communion with God. But when he said in that verse, for we wrestle against principalities, he used that word pros. So what he was saying was, we wrestle face to face with principalities, shoulder to shoulder with powers of darkness and wicked spirits in the heavenlies. And heavenlies doesn't mean on the moon, it means in our atmosphere. And so we rub shoulders and we encounter these things all the time. And so we have to understand that they're around.
That's right. That's right.
And they knew Jesus was coming to the other side of that lake, so all of a sudden they caused this storm.
Jesus.
And so that teaches you something. Mm-hmm. Every storm doesn't come from heaven.
All right.
You with me?
Right.
I mean, think about it. There are some people who are so silly, they think that every bad thing comes down the road is from God. And the Lord's trying to teach me something. No, the devil's trying to kill your butt. And you ain't got sense enough to know. He's trying to drown you in the lake. He's trying to drown you in the lake. And instead of you standing up and speaking sharply to the forces of darkness and making them stop, you're begging and bailing water. Rebuking water. Well, the water wasn't a problem. It was the wind. And many times the circumstances in life that you're facing, that's not the real problem. It's those devils trying to take you down. So if you learn to quit dealing with the symptoms and start speaking to the devil and telling him what to do, things will go better for you. So now Paul is out in the middle of the Mediterranean. This storm is so fierce, they don't see the sun or moon for 14 days. Now listen. When's the last time you heard of a hurricane camping out for 2 weeks? It doesn't do that. It blows through, moves on. Does a tremendous amount of damage, but they don't stay in one place. When they stay in one place, they die out. But this storm was so fierce, it almost took them down for 14 days. Now, you know the devil was behind this thing. But God knew it and warned Paul, and he knew on the inside of him. I perceive, what was he trying to do? He's trying to get the captain to stay where they were. But he was moved by sight and sailed. They almost lost it all. Now listen, here's how the Holy Spirit leads. By revelation. Paul had an inward knowing. I perceive. That's the primary way he leads his children. By an inward knowing. You know on the inside.
Amen.
Then they got out in the middle of the storm. 14 days, no sun, no moon. They're throwing stuff overboard. Then all of a sudden, an angel appears to Paul. He has a vision. A divinely granted appearance. And this angel stands beside him and says, Paul, don't be afraid. You must appear before Caesar. So I don't care what's going on out here, brother. You got an assignment. And you're going to be cast upon a certain island. And so Paul, after having this vision, what is that? The Holy Spirit manifesting himself. He goes upstairs to the deck of the ship and tells them all, hey, chill out. Be of good cheer. Be happy. Now listen, if you've ever been in a storm on a ship, it's hard to be happy. I know people who can't get on a ship when it's calm. You ever heard of a thing called motion sickness?
Yeah.
Even hardened sailors, when they get into a big storm, they start throwing up.
Yeah.
You know, I remember I heard Jesse DePlantis say one time, he used to work on oil rigs out in the Gulf of Mexico. He said one time there was a hurricane coming in and they warned everybody they were trying to get to shore before the storm hit. They didn't make it fast enough. He said, we had 27-foot swells. 27 feet. The ship would go up 27 feet and slam down on the ground. He said, you got these hard, bare-knuckled, rough, tough guys. He said, puking and calling on Jesus. That's all they could do. And so Paul said, be of good cheer. We're not going to lose one hair of anybody's hair off their head, but you got to listen to me. And so they ended up cast up on an island. Now, in that story, you can see how God leads and guides. The primary way he led was by an inward perception, an inward knowing. But then they're out in the middle of the storm. God dispatched an angel to give Paul information. So don't worry, you're going to make it. You and everybody on the boat. But they got to listen to you. They got to stay in the boat. And they did. And so it's just amazing when you realize the rest of the story, what took place. But we need revelation gifts. The Holy Spirit will reveal things to you. And he'll do it based on your nature, your personality. And you will understand what he's doing and how he does it. And it's really, really a blessing when he does that. Now, there's something else that I want you to see. And we're in Acts chapter 27. Well, 1 Thessalonians. Let's look at this. Turn to Acts chapter 16. Acts chapter 16. Now, I'm going to transition this morning from revelation gifts to power gifts. Gifts that do something. Gifts that do something. And so, how do we, as Christian people, determine, ascertain the will of God? How do you know what God's will is for you? Well, number one, you know God's will in a general sense by what the book says. Okay? It's in the book. And you have to take that book in its context. When I say in the book, I don't mean the book of Leviticus. I mean the Gospels and the letters written to churches. From Matthew, hang a right and go that way. You need to know the Old Covenant. But the Old Covenant wasn't written to you. You're not a Jew living under the law of Moses. Okay? So don't get hung up on the dietary things. I mean, there's wisdom in it. You know. But I know brothers who won't eat pork as long as the world stands. Won't touch pork. Ah, it's unclean. You know, and then they get involved in all kind of ungodly stuff that's 20 times worse than eating a sausage. No, I don't eat the lynx. Okay. You know. But notice Acts chapter 16. And there again, I want to show you how God will lead us and guide us supernaturally, and then we'll shift gears. Acts chapter 16, notice verse 6. Now, this is Paul and Barnabas and their missionary journey. And I think this is after they had separated. So now Paul is with Silas. And notice it says in verse 6, now when they had gone through Phrygia and the region of Galatia, and were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia. Now, listen to me. Didn't Jesus say, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature? Yeah. Didn't he say that? Yeah. Didn't Jesus say, that's Mark 16. Didn't he say in Matthew chapter 28, go and make disciples of all nations, yeah, teaching them whatever I've taught you? Yeah. And so, wouldn't Asia be part of that assignment? But yet here this verse says, we were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia. Why would the Holy Ghost forbid them? Well, it could be he was trying to keep them alive. Are you with me? There are times the Holy Spirit will warn you not to do something. Well, the Bible doesn't say it's wrong. Yeah, but the Spirit of God knows more than you do. You'd better listen to him. You with me? Mm-hmm. See, there are a lot of things the Bible doesn't address specifically. Mm-hmm. That's where we have to depend on the leadership of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And he lives in us. Amen. And so he would not let these men preach the word of God in Asia. Notice the next verse. After they were come into Mysia and essayed to go into Bithynia, the Spirit suffered them not. In other words, the Spirit wouldn't let them do it. Wouldn't let them go. And they, passing by Mysia, came down to Troas, and a vision appeared to Paul in the night. And there stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him, saying, come here to Macedonia and help us. And after he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us to preach the gospel to them. Now I want you to underline those two words, assuredly gathering. Assuredly gathering. Many people have lost their lives because they didn't listen to the Holy Ghost. Maybe he forbade them from going into Asia because he knew that the people in Macedonia were ready to receive. Amen. Or he knew that in Macedonia their lives would not be threatened. It pays to listen to the Holy Spirit. Amen. I have an acquaintance who is a missionary to Africa. And before the nation of Zimbabwe came into being, it was called Rhodesia. And they were having a civil war. The Africans there wanted their independence and finally got it. And so they were battling each other. And the government and the people were in power were trying to maintain power. They're outnumbered, but these people said, we want our freedom. And so now you have everybody and their brother involved sending arms, weapons, landmines, and they're killing each other. And so this missionary was on his way to conduct a meeting and to minister to some people in a rural village. And as he's driving down the road, the Holy Ghost said to him, don't go that way. I want you to take another route. He said the other route added another 3 or 4 hours onto his journey. He said, but I knew the Holy Ghost was speaking to me. And he said, don't take this route. Go the other way. And he immediately obeyed because he'd been taught how to be led by the Holy Spirit. Another acquaintance of his, another missionary, was going to the same area. He told him what the Holy Spirit told him. He said, we're going the other way. The Lord said, don't go that way. And this guy said, I'm not going that way. That's another 2, 3, 4 hours out of the way. What are you, nuts? He said, I'll see you when you get there because I'm going to beat you to it. Well, he proceeded to go the regular route. His vehicle hit a landmine, and he was instantly killed. Now, did he love God? Yep. Did he make heaven his home? You bet. Did he get there early? Uh-huh. Because he didn't listen to the Holy Ghost. Are you with me? Now, let's look at this phrase, assuredly gathering. These men were forbidden to preach the word in Asia. The Holy Spirit wouldn't let them go to another area, but he had a vision and saw a man of Macedonia saying, come and help us. Well, what was that? A divinely granted appearance. And so they assuredly gathered that the Lord had called them to preach the gospel. Now, that word assuredly gathered is one word, and it's a very interesting word. It is a Greek word that is pronounced sumbibazo. And that word simply means to drive together, to unite, or to compact, or to entrust with your spirit and the Holy Spirit within. So what it simply means is when he saw this vision, he knew on the inside of him that that was what they were supposed to do, and the Holy Spirit on the inside of him gave him that witness and said, yeah, that's it. This is it. You ever been there? Where the Holy Spirit said, yeah, this is it, or this is what you're supposed to do. I've been there many times. I remember walking in the house that I live in now that I'm selling. By the way, if anybody's looking for a house, mine is for sale. And we've been looking at houses for a year and a half. I got burned out on looking at houses, didn't want to look anymore. Then I drove down the street one day, and the guy had a sale sign in the yard, for sale by owner. And I'm thinking, well, he probably wants too much. That's why he doesn't want a realtor involved. Sat there for a long time, for sale by owner. And then one day I went by and I saw a realtor sign in the yard, for sale. So I called my real estate guy and said, I'd like to look at this house. And we've been looking at houses for a year and a half. I was tired of looking at houses. I remember walking in that house, walked in the living room, walked in the dining room, and I heard the Holy Ghost say, this is your house. That was it. That's all I had to hear. So I told the realtor, is write up a contract. She said, you want to see the rest of the house? I said, no, I'll walk through it, but I don't need to see it. I knew that was it. How did I know? I assuredly gathered that this was it. That's how I became the pastor of this church 10 years ago. Another man who was pastoring the church, and they were meeting down on 10th Street, had come to me and said, I believe the Lord wants you to take this church. And I thought, you got to be kidding me. Man, you pioneered this thing. You started this thing. Come on, let's pray. I'll help you. I'll give you some resources. We'll believe God together. You know? And so I did. I told him I'd pray for him. First time I started praying for him, I sensed something on the inside. Uh-oh. The Lord's doing something here. And so I kept praying, and I think it was the second time I prayed about it. The Holy Ghost spoke to me and said, he's going to call you back and ask you to take that church, and I want you to do it. Now, I assuredly gathered together that that was the will of God. I know him that well. And I said, okay, Lord. So I stayed away from this minister for 8 months. Now listen to me. I'll tell you why I did that. The Bible says, prove all things. If it's God, it can be proven. Now there's no scripture in the Bible that says, Bill Young, you shall pastor Mount Gerizim Christian Center. It's not in there. So I can't run it through the filter of the Word, but I can run it through the filter of the Holy Ghost on the inside of me. And the Bible says, prove all things. That means I'm not going to try to make this thing happen. The Lord said he's going to call me back and ask me to take that church. I'm not going to influence the process at all. So I stayed away from him for 8 months. I visited his church one time. Mr. Heidelberg was there. A few of y'all were there. And brought a friend of mine, a guy named Kenny Vincent. He's my friend, had been delivered from alcohol, been through rehab 29 times. And got delivered. And so now he goes to AA meetings and says, hi, my name is Kenny Vincent. And he doesn't say, I'm an alcoholic. He said, I was an alcoholic, but I've been set free. So I brought Kenny to the church and introduced some people. Never said a word about what the Lord had said to me. Not one word. Didn't say a thing. Saw the preacher, said, hi, how you doing? Bye. See you later. That was it. Well, the following year in February, 8 months later, he called me. I said, Bill. I said, yeah, how you doing? Good. He said, remember that thing I asked you about last year? I said, yeah. He said, man, I've been praying about this thing, and the Lord told me you're supposed to take this charge. I said, yep. Yes, they told me the same thing. See, but I proved it. I didn't try to make it happen, influence it, you know. Some people try to manufacture stuff. No, I proved it. He called me back. He said, well, we need to have a board meeting so we can put you in as pastor. I said, okay. Now, what did I do in the interim? Because I'm serving on staff at another church. Listen to me. Everybody listen carefully. There are times the Lord will change your assignment and you may move from one house to another house. Do it the right way. So I trained a man to do what I was doing. I've always done that. I trained people to take my responsibility so that when I left, there was no deficit. They didn't miss a lick. You with me? I went to my pastor and told him what the Lord had told me. And he said, yeah, that's God. You with me? You know, I didn't just slip out the back door. That's not how you do things. I mean, I've quit jobs before. I have. I called them up. I said, look, you know, I got another job that's better, and I just want to give you my notice. And I did that one time in St. Louis. I left a job for a much better paying job, much better benefits, much better stuff. I was managing a Radio Shack store, working 60 hours a week, driving 80 miles a day. And I calculated how much money I was making. I took a losing store and got it to just barely being profitable. I was in a 9-month training program, and I had a store in 2 months because of one sale. The Holy Ghost did it. And so now I'm working in this. And I calculated how much money I was making. I was making minimum wage. I said, this ain't work. So I went out, actively sought, found another job. Much better. Salary, bonus, company car, company credit card. They wanted you to take your accounts out and eat and have fun with them, you know. They used to get on me because I didn't use my company credit card enough. And they said, Bill, you need to wine and dine your clients. Well, I didn't drink wine. I like to eat. And some of my clients, I didn't want to take to dinner. You know, but I'd buy them box seats tickets to the Cardinal games. You know, I had one wholesale account. These guys were raw. Ooh, they were some nasty dudes. But they're my account. So I'd say, hey, you guys want to go to the Cardinal game? Yeah, I'd go spend $200 in baseball tickets. Say, here, how you doing? You know, other clients I'd take out to dinner. We'd spend all kind of money. Company said, do it. So they offered me this job, gave me a company car, gave me an account, told me we'll start you at X amount of dollars. Now, I left the right way. You know what I did? I called my boss. I said, look, I'm leaving. I got this job. He said, where is it? What's it about? I told him. He said, I don't blame you. I'd do it too. That's what he said. And so I said, I'll give you my 2 weeks' notice. And so I'm working. The other company wanted me to start immediately. I said, no, out of honor for them, I gave my notice. I'm going to fulfill my obligation while I find somebody to take my place. Well, I worked a week. And that weekend on Saturday, my new boss comes pulling up in front of the store with another guy in two cars. And so he gets out of one car, gets into her car, and she comes in, hands me a bank box with my files in it. She says, here, these are your accounts. Here are the keys to your car. That's it. She said, can you start Monday? I said, I got another week to go. I told him I'd give my 2 weeks' notice. She said, look, I don't normally do this, but if you'll start Monday, instead of starting you at A, I'll start you at B. Gave me a $2,000 raise. Hadn't worked day one. Hadn't worked one day on the job. Gave me a $2,000 raise. She said, if you start Monday, I'll start you at X. I said, I'll be there. I got on the phone, called the district manager, said, I got to go, man, I got to go. He said, don't worry about it, I'll get somebody to cover for you Monday. See, but I did it the right way. You with me? Now listen, they assuredly gathered because they had the witness on the inside of them and the Holy Spirit was witnessing on the inside of them. See, the Bible says in Proverbs 20:27, the spirit of man is the lamp or the candle of the Lord. He enlightens us in our spirit. Amen. Learn to get to know His voice on the inside. He'll lead you and guide you. Amen. And there are times you will know it's God. You with me? Amen. You will know it's God. You have no doubt. Amen? Amen. And so when you do, hold on to those things that are good. Amen? All right, turn with me now to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And I just want to whet your appetite for what's coming. Amen? 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We talked about gifts that say something. We talked about gifts that reveal something. Now we'll talk about gifts that do something. Notice verse 27, 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Now you are the body of Christ and members in particular. And God has set some in the church. Underline that phrase. God has set some in the church. First, apostles. Secondarily, prophets. Thirdly, teachers. After that, miracles. Underline that word, miracles. Then, gifts of healing. Underline that phrase, gifts of healing. Then, helps, governments, diversities of tongues. Now, are all apostles? No, some are. Are all teachers? No, but some are. Now, when it says apostle, The Greek word is the ancient word for the word that was used for an admiral, somebody who was in command of a fleet of ships. And the admiral, whenever he would represent his kingdom and go to a new land, he would take with him everything he needed to establish his current kingdom in that new land. If he sailed from Spain, he had everything that represented Spain on that ship. Not only flags, but he had road builders, he had engineers, he had teachers. He had everything he needed to establish Spanish culture in that new land. And so it is with the ministry of an apostle. It's more than just being a sent one. Paul referred to himself as a wise master builder. And so he was anointed by the Spirit of God to build the kingdom of God in lands where they had never heard about Jesus. And so that's what that word apostle means. And so he'd establish the kingdom of God in a new land. Now, these are not titles, these are functions.
Amen.
This is what the Holy Spirit has anointed people to do. First apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers. Now, anybody can get up and teach a lesson. But there's a difference between teaching a lesson and being anointed by the Holy Spirit to teach. So that people understand kingdom principles in simple terms.
Amen.
I remember when that anointing came on me to teach. I don't call myself to teach. That's just what I do. And it was like somebody put coin in a machine. You ever been to a vending machine, put a coin in, and it dropped? Same thing happened. I knew the day because I'd been faithful in doing things that the Lord had instructed me to do. I was helping where I could, serving where I could. And one day I was up teaching a class. It was like, boom, something hit me right on the inside. And it was never the same after that. You with me? Now, that doesn't mean I don't have to study, don't have to pray. No, I do. But when I'm in the zone, it's easy. You with me? I say things that I've never thought of before. And it's not because I'm so smart. It's what the Holy Spirit does.
Amen.
Okay? So God has set these things in a church. Now watch. We're going to finish with this verse today. God has set some in the church. First apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers. After that, miracles, then gifts of healings. Miracles and gifts of healings. Now listen to me. If God has set these things in the church, who are we to arbitrarily remove them? God has set in the church miracles. He's talking about people and gifts of healings. He's talking about ministries. I truly believe with all my heart that in churches all around the world, there are people sitting in the pews just like you who have been anointed with working of miracles and gifts of healings. But because we've never taught people how to cooperate with the Spirit of God and how these things function, many times those gifts go unused, undeveloped, untrained, and they never reach their intended fulfillment. I heard Dad Hagen say, I've heard him say it many times, many people live and die and never enter into the first phase of their ministry. Because they don't know these things. But I truly believe there are people sitting in the pew who are anointed with gifts of healings.
Amen.
Now, if you'll find what is in front of you to do and be faithful with that, and you're the one that God has anointed with gifts of healings, that gift will grow and develop. Well, Pastor Bill, I've never heard anything like that. Do you have any scripture for that? Yeah, that's easy. I thought you were going to ask me something hard. People do that oftentimes. You know, Reverend Young, can I ask you a question? Yeah. And they sort of brace themselves. You know, well, you know, this is a toughie. And I'm like, okay. Now, you hang with me now. Okay. And then they lay it on you. I walked into a room one time and there were seasoned ministers going at it back and forth about a certain principle. And they had their Bibles out. And when I walked in the room, I knew I was in trouble. I'm like, uh-oh. You know, when they got their Bible, oh, well, let's ask Pastor Young. I'm like, oh, here we go. And so they asked me this question. And I looked at them and smiled. See, the anointing will enable you to do things that other people struggle with. I looked at him and smiled. I said, I thought you were going to ask me something hard. I said, that's easy. And so I gave him the answer. Didn't have to crack a book. I said, here's what the Bible said. Boop, 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 boop. And they looked at me. Oh. But listen. There are times when the Holy Spirit desires to use someone other than the pastor. And so, if you understand that principle that God has set these gifts in the church, then it won't be unusual when the Holy Spirit moves upon you to do something that you just respond. Now, I'm going back to this principle. Can I prove that point? I've never heard anything like that. Easy. In the book of Acts, chapter 6, the men who were chosen as the first deacons in the church, one of them was a guy named Stephen. Now, what was his ministry? We know he was the first martyr in the church. They stoned him to death, right? He only preached one sermon that we know about. And the reception was such that they got rocks and killed him. Amen? People don't always like what you have to say. And this man, Stephen, the Bible says that mighty signs and wonders were wrought by his hands. Amen. Mighty signs and wonders were wrought by his hands. Now, what does that mean? Miracles took place. Now, he didn't preach from a pulpit. He didn't have a title. But you know what he did? He was faithful in his church serving. And his ministry was feeding widows. I call it Meals Without Wheels. And as he was ministering to these widows, food distribution. Obviously, there were times when he encountered widows who were sick, who were dying, and he would lay his hands on them and the power of God would go into them and heal them. And he wasn't a pastor. He wasn't an apostle. He wasn't a prophet. He didn't have a pulpit ministry. He didn't have a business card, but he had the anointing of the Holy Ghost.
Amen. Amen.
And mighty signs and wonders were wrought by his hands. And the same may be said of some of you.
Amen.
But you've got to get to the point where you have confidence in the grace of God that's in you and cooperate with the Holy Spirit. Amen. And let him use you. I would love for nothing more than get a phone call from the hospital. Pastor Bill so-and-so's in the hospital. Okay, I get off the phone and I call Alonzo. So, Alonzo, would you please go down to room 303? Do your thing. Amen?
Amen.
I would love that. In fact, I'm going to do that. Yeah, I'm going to do that. Steve Mooney, there's a guy over there. He's got this condition. He's deaf in his left ear. I know you're anointed to do that. He's in St. Vincent's room so-and-so. Let me know how you make out. Amen?
Amen.
Is that scriptural? Yeah.
Yes, right.
Do you remember when the Shunammite woman and her son had a heat stroke and died?
Mm-hmm.
What did Elisha do? He sent Gehazi. He said, take my staff and run there, lay it on this child. Why? Raise him up. But it didn't work for Gehazi. So Elisha himself went down there and raised that boy from the dead. And later on in life, we find out, or later on in the scripture, that Gehazi had some issues. He was greedy. Amen? When Elisha said to him, take my staff and run down there and lay it on the child, he's probably thinking, well, am I going to get paid for this? I'm serious. That's probably what he was thinking. Well, y'all paying? How much am I going to get? I mean, I got to go all the way to town. You know, that gas costs money, bro. You know? See, y'all laughing, but I bet you that's what was running through his mind.
Amen.
He was more concerned about what he's going to get than he was that dead boy on that bed.
Amen.
So when you love and care about people, that's the catalyst for the Holy Ghost to manifest himself. Amen? All right, this is where we'll pick up next week. Talking about gifts that do something. Power gifts.
Amen.
Hallelujah.